Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center presents Doc Talk, an informative health series educating our community on the services provided at Peace Health. We will begin with our host, George Henry, after these messages.
Don't miss a beat. Peace Health can help you keep up on the latest for your heart with expert advice, advanced procedures, and comprehensive care. We have more than 50 expert cardiologists and 9 heart clinic locations throughout the Northwest to serve you. Let us put together a personalized heart care plan for you so you can enjoy all of life's incredible moments. Because focusing on your heart means you'll never miss a beat. Learn more at peacehealth.org/hearthealth.
I am a 2-time breast cancer survivor and a big believer in mammograms. I do think they are very important. As a cancer survivor, the journey can be very difficult. But with the right people by your side, anything is possible.
At Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center, you have access to advanced technology and mammogram screenings with enhancements to ensure your comfort. Request your appointment today at peacehealth.org/yes-mamma, because beating cancer is our mission.
On the July edition of Doc Talk, I have the pleasure of speaking with Scott McEachran. He is their hospice chaplain for Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center. And Scott, good day to you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me in.
So what we like to do on Doc Talk is, especially when we have a guest for the first time, a lot of times we have guests for 2 or 3 times. We don't necessarily do it the same way. But we like to introduce people to who you are and talk a little bit about that. Let's go to your background. We always start with, where are you from? You know, where did you grow up? What was your upbringing like?
Yeah. I grew up in Detroit, Michigan. And I like to say I was the – Jimmy Buffett says I'm the son of a sailor. I was the son of Ford Motor Company men, you know, factory workers.
Oh.
If one of 5 kids, very blue collar, nuclear family, just lived in the neighborhood. I could walk up and down the block. And
Grandma
and
Grandpa were right around the corner.
Everybody was, yeah. And I could walk up and down the block. I knew everybody, you know, I can still see every house in my mind and knew who lived in each house. And yeah, it was just – I played ice hockey and baseball and
– What was it like having the family working for Detroit, the motor company? So what – there anything particular to stand out in your childhood?
You just never not drove a Ford.
Do you still drive a Ford?
I do. Right. I'm driving a Ford right now. I kind of got off it a little bit, you know, when I moved out to the West Coast, but I'm back to it.
Did you buy a Subaru at some point?
No. Toyota and, Land Rover, but then Ford bought Land Rover, I think. I still have family that still works for Ford. And it's funny, one of my sons actually worked there for a little bit too, as a graphic designer. But yeah, so we're still, it's very rooted. It's very connected. It's, you know, you hear stories about just competitive things like back when I was growing up, like salespeople, they didn't pull into businesses where if you weren't driving an American car, if you were driving a foreign car, they'd get keyed, you know, in the parking lot. Yeah, it was like they take that very seriously there. It did.
Sort of reminds me of a Mel Gibson movie where his love interest is Goldie Hawn and she goes to Detroit for a convention and rents a BMW.
I don't know that.
Like, yeah. He's like, who rents a BMW in Detroit?
I know.
You know, it's kind of that.
It
thing.
Still matters. Yeah.
Yeah. I bet it would. Yeah. It because does. It's like, you know, you're not supporting our business here.
Yeah. 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 It still matters.
So did you go to high school and college there too?
Or? I went to high school there and then I went to college, Michigan State. And then.
Go Big Blue?
No.
Oh, that's Michigan. Sorry.
Okay, man. 50. See,
we have to cut that out.
50-50 chance.
Yeah,
right?
I know.
And
I
you blew it. Yeah. Yeah. It's Go Green.
That's Go Green. That's right.
Spartans. And I took some spring breaks to Colorado. I was a skier, and I didn't know I really became a skier.
I was going to say you're a hockey player, baseball player, and then I decided to ski too.
You know, but then I went out west.
In Detroit, you don't have much opportunity. There was a
garbage dump, Mount Brighton. That literally, they built this hill out of garbage, and that was our ski hill.
Oh my.
Yeah, and they have some in northern Michigan, a little bit. You know, yeah, there's some places.
So you go out to Colorado.
And I fell in love with the mountains. I fell in love with the West. And then I knew that when I graduated college, like I just didn't, a suit and tie wasn't for me. And so,
what was your career path in college?
It was, I graduated with a degree in packaging engineering. Every product needs a package.
Manufacturing. So
you think about everything. I mean, shipping, permeabilities in regards to food packaging and potato chips and shock and vibrations. It was so expansive. It's marketing. It's studying grocery store aisles. You know, every product needs a package. Everything wrapped around what that is, from design, manufacturing to shipping, was the degree.
I had a mother-in-law work for Cryovac in South Carolina, maybe it wasn't Cryovac, maybe it was a different name, but they did all the molding packages and stuff like that. Yeah.
So I was an engineering major. I went in because I didn't know what I wanted to do. But then the packaging, the engineering is like, you know, what's the area underneath the sine graph? And you're like, what does that even matter? And so the packaging professors were really smart that they would find people like me after the second year where they would come in and I was like flailing in engineering. And then they would introduce me to packaging. And it kind of lit my world up because all of a sudden I could walk into a grocery store and apply everything that I was learning in class, right? So those graphs began to make sense to me in a way that the other path didn't. And so, yeah.
I had the same thing with algebra until I took algebra as an older person at a manufacturing college. And they talked about, okay, this is the machine here. This is how the algebra works in creating this machine or what this machine does. So all of a sudden it's like,
yeah,
light went on.
Yeah.
So you saw that when you went into
100%, yeah. But then I was like, I ain't doing this after I graduated. And I bought a Ford, a truck, little Ranger. And I kissed my mom and dad goodbye. And I pointed it west, destination unknown. And I ended up in Sun Valley, Idaho for 4 years, where I taught skiing and guided rivers. And yeah. And then I fell in love. And we ended up moving with a girl from San Francisco. And we ended up moving to Portland after she graduated college. And we didn't know a soul. And gave ourselves 5 years and ended up being in Portland for 35 years before I moved out to the coast.
So in your dealings with people, whether it's teaching, you know, skiing or working with people, did you have a sense in you that your purpose was bigger than teaching skiing? Or was that not something that hit you at that time?
No. No. Didn't hit me.
No.
Didn't really.
But were you good at developing relationships and things like that?
100%. Yeah. Yeah.
But it was still like you didn't know that you were being, were you being moved in a certain direction? And you can look back now and say, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I see the golden thread that has connected my life that has gotten to me just to where I am, you know? It's interesting. When I was a senior in college, I did one of these career tests, you know, where they just try and map your personality.
Yeah, what's you going to be good for?
The mortician is what I, and I'm like, come on, man, you know? But if you think about it, you know, they're good with people, they're good around crisis and grief and all the rest of that. But
they're also good around dead people.
They're good, you know, but here's the thing, like, I'm a new chaplain. This was like 5 years ago, mm-hmm. you know? And so it talked about a golden thread, you know what I mean? Like, it's almost like full circle for me,
right.
You know?
Yeah, little did you know when you were taking that test.
Although it was interesting to me,
yeah.
for sure, you yeah. know, because I've always had a fascination with just with dying. I've always questioned it, you know, from as a very small child and seeing Vincent Price sort of bricked in behind a brick wall and, you know, and some scary show. And I just had no explanation for it, you know, to holding on to that, to hearing a Buddhist monk talk about you really haven't fully lived until you can embrace death, you know? Like, those things have just sort of stuck with me so loosely, but nothing concrete until this, what I'm doing right now is just sort of solidified, you know? Yeah, everything that I've done has sort of led me to where I am right now. Yeah.
It's like someone threw a puzzle on the floor and you mapped out the corners,
yes.
and then all of a sudden as it's filling in, you're seeing,
exactly.
you're seeing how life came together.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm speaking with Scott McEachran. He is the chaplain for hospice on this edition of Doc Talk. We'll be back with more after this.
Don't miss a beat. Peace Health can help you keep up on the latest for your heart with expert advice, advanced procedures, and comprehensive care. We have more than 50 expert cardiologists and 9 heart clinic locations throughout the Northwest to serve you. Let us put together a personalized heart care plan for you so you can enjoy all of life's incredible moments. Because focusing on your heart means you'll never miss a beat. Learn more at peacehealth.org/hearthealth.
I am a 2-time breast cancer survivor and a big believer in mammograms. I do think they are very important. As a cancer survivor, the journey can be very difficult. But with the right people by your side, anything is possible.
At Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center, you have access to advanced technology and mammogram screenings with enhancements to ensure your comfort. Request your appointment today at peacehealth.org/yes-mama because beating cancer is our mission.
On this edition of Doc Talk, I have the pleasure of speaking with Scott McEachran. He is the hospice chaplain here for Peace Harbor, and we were talking about the golden thread that brings it all together there.
Yeah.
And you said it's only been about 5 years that you've been doing the chaplain's job.
Yeah.
When did you start feeling that tug? This is radio, Scott.
I know. But I am a chaplain, too.
Better. Yeah, that's okay. Right. You have to be all thoughtful, right?
Well, you have to, like, embrace space.
Yes, you
know
do.
What I mean?
I was just kidding.
Yeah. Space is my currency. You know, it's nuanced, you know. So I had a long business career, and
in
Portland,
but in what field?
Marketing, branding, innovation, general management. I was at Nike for the better part of 20 years.
Okay,
and I lost that job. And I also – I had a marriage that fell apart. And I was just in a real – 15 years ago, just a very transitional space in my life. I was interviewing for some – I worked at some agencies after, you know, but just really – I worked in one agency for 3 years and another agency for a year. And it's like the time span just kept getting smaller because I'm like, what am I doing? You know what I mean? Like it's like purpose and meaning became sort of like front and center for me. As opposed to just trying to sell another widget or get someone another drink, another cup of coffee, you know, like what is it? I need something deeper, more meaningful. And so there were a couple of jobs that I interviewed for that would have been great, aligned with sort of my love of outdoors or just my lifestyle or where I was in my head. And I didn't get either one of those jobs. I was like one of the final candidates and I didn't get either one. And I was like, what the heck? What's going on? What's the universe trying to tell me? I was volunteering at a hospice house in Portland. And during that time, there was a training. And there was a 92-year-old volunteer. And she was giving a talk on forgiveness, you know. And I was sitting around the room. And I was looking at just all the nurses or the bath aides or the other volunteers. And we were listening to this old, wise woman give this beautiful talk on forgiveness, you know, from just a life of lived experience. And I was looking around the room and I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I looking for a job? Like, these are the kinds of rooms that I want to be in. These are the kinds of talks that I want to be around. These are the books that are on my bedside table. What am I doing? And so I started researching divinity schools. And I found a Buddhist divinity school in Portland, and I researched it, and I applied, and I got in, and I stopped looking for a job, and I immersed myself in school, destination unknown. I just knew I was going to put myself on the dark side of the moon, you know, change the trajectory of the conversations that I was having, the people that I was surrounding myself with.
Focus on what you want, not what you don't want.
I didn't know what I wanted, but I just knew that I was going to change the energy and the inputs that were coming in. Chaplaincy is what came out the other end. You know, there were some chaplains that would come in and talk, and teach, be guest speakers and stuff. And I was like, huh, I was curious about that. And then one summer after my third year, I did a volunteer internship at the Veterans Hospital in Portland. And, it was just one of those jobs that I got up in the morning and I looked forward to going, and I was just felt fulfilled when I left. And I just knew then that, okay, this is a path that I'm going to pursue.
You mentioned earlier you never really lived life until you've dealt with death.
That's what I heard.
Right. No, I know. when it comes to the job that you have now and you're speaking with folks.
Yeah.
I imagine you have people at differing places in their life. Some may be at that edge where they haven't dealt with death, yet they're having to deal with death.
Yes.
talk a little bit about how that discussion goes with someone in that position.
It's just I think that just by just introducing myself, you know, like hospice. Let's just back up a little bit, I guess, in regards to like hospice is a I call it a it's a chair. It's a four-legged chair. It's a wraparound service, and what comes with hospice care is you have a nurse, you have a chaplain, you have a social worker, and you have a bath aide that comes in. And between these four folks, these are people that we come into your home and provide care to make you comfortable at end of life. The chaplain's role is spiritual care. Well, what does that mean? That's different for everybody, right. You know? And so for me, I like to explain that I'm not a pastor, I'm not a priest, I'm not a reverend, although some chaplains are. I am not. Chaplains aren't there to sort of proselytize or convert, which that's a big misconception for a lot of people.
That's why some people don't want a chaplain.
100%.
You know, because they're like, well, no, I have my own beliefs. I don't.
100%. Yeah. I don't want that. I'm not spiritual, mm-hmm. You know.
I mean, interject here, everybody's spiritual. They just don't really recognize it.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know, because what is spirituality?
Yeah, it's just who you are.
I think it's meaning, but how do we make sense of things, right? And if you ask those questions, which everybody does, I think that's spirituality.
100%.
And so just to get past that, you know what I mean? Like, and so it's not about me and what I believe, right? It's about you and what you believe. And this, generally speaking, like this isn't your first rodeo. This isn't the first hardship that you've had in your life. Right. And so it's not my job to come in and kind of provide answers or to provide a theology for you. It's my answer to really get to know you and what it is that you believe, or what are the things that have gotten you through hard times before. Religion, faith might have been part of that. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just your dog, you know, or nature or whatever it is. So it's my job to figure out what that is for you and then meet you in that place. And so I don't provide answers, you know, so it's my job to come in and just, if somebody is like sad or they can't figure it out, or they're frustrated or they're angry, I just hold space for that.
It's interesting. I was just this morning, I was watching something and it was talking about this one man who went and he was interviewing CIA officers. And so he was asking questions and the CIA officer would answer him with a question. Well, what do you think about that? And at the end, what he realized about this was that he learned more about the questions he asked than the answers he got.
Yeah.
So when you get someone talking and they're seeking or they're looking or they're, it brings out in them, they find their answers 100%. In their own questions.
I walk into every room with the understanding that the sacred is already present and the answers are already there. It's just my job to help the person discover it within themselves, that it's always been there.
And that comes by listening a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'm speaking with Scott McEachran. He is the hospice chaplain at Peace Harbor Medical Center here. We'll be back with more on this edition of Doc Talk.
Don't miss a beat. Peace Health can help you keep up on the latest for your heart with expert advice, advanced procedures, and comprehensive care. We have more than 50 expert cardiologists and 9 heart clinic locations throughout the Northwest to serve you. Let us put together a personalized heart care plan for you so you can enjoy all of life's incredible moments, because focusing on your heart means you'll never miss a beat. Learn more at peacehealth.org/hearthealth.
I am a 2-time breast cancer survivor and a big believer in mammograms. I do think they are very important. As a cancer survivor, the journey can be very difficult, but with the right people by your side, anything is possible.
At Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center, you have access to advanced technology in mammogram screenings with enhancements to ensure your comfort. Request your appointment today at peacehealth.org/yes-mama, because beating cancer is our mission.
I have the pleasure of speaking with Scott McEachran. He is the hospice chaplain at Peace Harbor Medical Center. And to walk me through walk me through a typical day for you. What does your day look like when you get into work and you, I don't know, do you look at a list and, yeah, and see whose needs come up first? How's that go?
Yes. It's yes. In that, yes. Every morning, I check in, and with that becomes like a call list in regards to what happened throughout the night, who called in, who may be in distress, who may have died through the evening. And then that'll set up my day in regards to like where the follow-up may need for me.
Now, if someone passes, yeah, over, would you still go be with the family then?
It depends. Okay. You know, it depends. It's like how my previous visits have gone, and whether or not I think that might be helpful.
You kind of get a sense if you're wanted or needed there,
yeah,
beforehand.
You get a sense. Yeah. And sometimes before the death, like, you know, the questions asked, you know what I mean? Like, would you like me to come by, final blessing, or, you know, or other team members are going out, the social worker, the nurse, and then I'll accompany them, you know? And if it's somebody that I've seen for, you know, sometimes 8 months, a year, you know, you develop a relationship. And so you just know that it would be welcome, you know, for support. Yeah, so that's how my day starts, and then everything sort of builds on that in regards to what I have a census of about 50 people that come on and off my list, and so I take care of all I'm responsible for the spiritual care for those folks, and that ranges from Waldport down to Reedsport and inland to Scottsdale, right? So I'm the only hospice chaplain that covers that area, and so there are cadences in which you need to see patients. So you need to see somebody or have communication with somebody at least once a month. But I see people weekly, you know, depends. You set that up after your initial assessment and visit with folks. And so then I look at my census, and then I build my visits around that. Right. And then if somebody's at end of life, that gets prioritization for me, to go and be with those families. And it's a chaplain's role is very, with all of that, is you have a plan, but you pivot constantly, you know? So there's always things that come up, whether it's supporting staff also that have, people have lives and personal lives, or they have hard visits, and supporting staff and involved in the community in various ways. And so, yeah, it's just very fluid.
So when your day ends and you go back home or go do whatever it is you do at the end of the day, what's your solstice? What's your comfort after dealing with death and illness all day long?
It's a great question. I live in Yahats, and I love it's
a well real, that drive it drive alone will give you some peace.
It's like a portal for me, yeah, you know, how as to how I come in and out of the work. And sometimes after a hard visit, I will pull over and go into the ocean, and I give it back to something that's bigger than myself, you know, like I need to just let it go to release before I walk into my house, or I'll go for a hike in the forest, or I'll go home and grab my dog and go for a hike. Or I just really have, you got to have really good self-care techniques, you know, when you do this work. You have to really take care of yourself. And I always try and like, yeah, give it up to something larger than myself, and it's greater than me, and just try and just let it go into that space.
When you're dealing with family personalities, you often have, you know, some that are very close to their family member who's passing away. Then you have some that are far away, not necessarily physically far away, but emotionally far away. Is that something that you deal with, or is that one of those case-by-case bases where you kind of feel your way through it and see if there's some healing to be done there?
You feel your way through it. The great thing about that also is the teamwork that we have, right? Because you get
input from three other
there's
legs.
There's three or four people, yes, mm-hmm, that are coming in and out of that space. And so we always triangulate in regards to information. Like, we're very communicative and very we talk about nuance, families, and dynamic, and what's coming up for people, and whether there is estrangement or healing that needs to be done, or not done. You can't
force healing.
You can't force it. But for me, and how I approach that is, I feel like part of my job is getting people. How are they doing spiritually as they approach their death? And is there anything that is affecting them or holding them that needs to be released, right? Because at the end, we all have to release, sort of like we have to let go, the ultimate let go. And are there things that people are gripping or holding on to? And some of that can be estrangement and family relationships and unresolved things, you know? And so I find it is helpful a lot to just provide, to ask those questions, you know, who are your supports? Who are your family? Are you in communication with those folks? If not, is that something that you wish was there? And you just get them talking, you know, about it. And a lot of times, like, that's healing in itself, you know, just bringing space to that. And sometimes there is space to help bridge that for people, you know, but you'd never lead it. It's always patient led. The patient's at the center of our care and they lead everything. It's my job to be curious about it and to just go where they want to go, you know, and support them in that.
How is the experience for you when you see someone grappling with something and then they have that aha moment where they open up and maybe you see it in a smile, maybe you see it in a tear, maybe you see it in a big sigh of someone gets to the place where they go, I'm good now.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm emotional because I feel like there's just images of, and it's not when you see people get to that space, and I'm just so humbled and feel just so privileged to just be a part and to be welcomed into rooms and homes. When people are going through this really, I find it to be the most important time in a person's life, you know, is letting go in the end is really humble. And when who gets that kind of satisfaction from their job, where you see what it is that you described and know that you have been helpful in that way.
Not many people get to witness that part of it. They see all the tough parts, and then when the satisfaction part comes, they're not always around for that.
Yeah, that you've provided some relief.
Yeah,
that you've helped them get to their own sense of relief.
And I think I'm saying what you said earlier is you're not the facilitator as much as you are the witness.
Yeah.
To what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you're there for a purpose and you do work, you know, but it's all self-work in the long run.
I'd say
you get to witness it.
I'm the guy that gets I'm the privileged guy on the team that gets to walk in and ask how your head and your heart are doing. And I don't mean like blood pressure or, you know.
Right. You're not sticking a needle in them or
100%.
Giving a pill.
And I have all the time in the world. I get to pull up a chair, sit down next to a person and say, how is your head and your heart doing? And sometimes that's all you need to, in the next hour, you're just, it's unloading. And at the end of it, they're like, I've never shared that with anybody before. And like, I just met you.
Yeah.
You know?
This may seem like a weird question, but I think even in the brief time that we've sat here and talked together, I have a sense that when you go into a situation, there's not a roadmap that you use when you go in there. You seem like you sense the room and then take off from there, I guess. Is that pretty true?
Yeah, it's very yes.
Because, you know, you can have a sit there and go, okay, this is question 1 through 7. That's not how it works.
That's not how I work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So every space tells a story. I've worked in hospitals also. I love going into people's homes. I love walking into people's spaces. It just tells me so much about the person. And so, I love that part of what it is that I do. And I'm just very humbled that people open up their doors and say yes, you know. And the other thing I want to say is just given my business, you know what I mean? What I love about this work is there's no BS. Like, the masks are off at the end of life. You know, you get to walk in and people are real. You walk into people's homes, people are real. You get real, you know, and I...
There's no time for tomfoolery at that point in life,
I love it. I love that, yeah. So having a career, visiting, you know, seeing a lot of masks and people, yeah.
Scott McEachran is the hospice chaplain for Peace Harbor Medical Center, and I can tell you folks just from the brief amount of time that I have spent with him, this is somebody you want by your side when it's that time. So thank you so much for being part of this today.
Thanks for having me in, really. Yeah, appreciated that conversation.
You have been listening to Doc Talk, presented by Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center. For more information on the program and services provided, visit peacehealth.org.